All right, turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. I'm going to look at a familiar parable this morning. Luke 14, I'm going to start in verse 15 through verse 24. It says, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man was given a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who have been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. First one said to him, 'I bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I've married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' Slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slave, 'Go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame.' Slave said, 'Master, what you have commanded has been done, and still there's room.' Master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" I want us to think about the setting of this parable. Go back to the first verse of chapter 14. It says, it happened that when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat, they were watching him closely. All right, Jesus is in the home of one of the Pharisees. And as he often did, as Jesus was having a mealtime with individuals, he used that as an opportunity for teaching. Now, in our day, in the 21st century, we want all the questions answered. You know, what's meant by this great supper? You know, who is the first group and the second group and the third group that's invited? And how do we break that all down? And you've probably heard messages on that. I want to focus this morning on the one that we sort of neglect in this story, and that's the servant, the slave, the one who is to take the message. So that's what we're going to try and do this morning. Number one, if you're taking notes in your outline, the servant is a messenger for his master. The servant is a messenger for his master. In verse 17, the dinner hour he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is ready." Now in this culture, when you would have a big feast, when you have a big meal, you would invite your guests and you'd tell them the day. You wouldn't tell them the time. Now, you needed to know, and so when you invited them, they would agree to come so that the host knew how many animals needed to be sacrificed, how much food needed to be prepared. And then as all the preparations were being made and everything was ready, then he would send out a servant to go and say, "Everything's ready, now it's time to come." Now, that was one of the jobs that the servant loved. It was one of the best jobs of the servant because you delivered good news. A lot of times as a servant, you were doing things that you didn't really enjoy. But you got to take that message, you got to take that good news to those who were excited for it, who were ready for it, who were looking for it. And that's a picture, the servant is a picture of us. It's a picture of us being called to take the good news, to be called to take the gospel message to a world that's in need, a world that's ready to hear the message. We're called to represent our master. I want you to look at a couple verses with me this morning that show how we are to represent our master. The first is a very familiar one in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." We are to be witnesses for our risen Lord. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Here the Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." So we are witnesses for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. And the last one, look at Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. So you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. We are to be witnesses. We are to be ambassadors. We are to be lights representing the light of the world. Now go back to Luke chapter 14. Look at verse 17. It says, say to those who have been invited, come, for everything is ready now. You know, this servant was delivering an urgent request. You know, everything's prepared, come. You know, sort of like when you're young and you're playing and mom says, dinner's ready, it's time to come now. You want to get there while it's hot. You want to get there when everything's just right. You don't want it, I remember there was something going on. We had a family over at church a couple months ago, and I had something I had to do at church, and so I took off before I had a chance to eat the supper. And I came home, and it was on a plate in the refrigerator, and I pulled it out and put it in the microwave. It's just not the same. You know, it's okay, but it's not the same. You know, everything's ready. Now is the time to come. Now, he was sent to individuals. You know, we are to go to individuals. We are to take the message. People are not born collectively, and by and large, people are not born again collectively. You know, in our day, God, I will say this, I want to say this honestly but carefully. God can and does use evangelistic events where many people come to Christ. But by and large, how do people come to Christ? One by one. As we go to them, and we take the gospel message and we share Jesus Christ with them and we disciple them, and just as he called the disciples to do. Now, the first group that the servant went to was those who knew about the feast. Each one of these had already been invited. They'd already agreed to come to the banquet. And so the host expected them to be there. Now, this probably represents the religious people. Those who know something about Jesus Christ. Those who know something about God. And he came to them with this invitation. Come. Just come. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read you a couple verses in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. It says, come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Well, they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Come. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. And then in Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money, without cost. Come. We are to invite those around us to come. To Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ. You know, he's waiting. Everything's ready. He is prepared for you. You know, as we go to the lost, one on one is still the way that God uses to call children to himself. So the servant was sent out. Number two, the servant's reaction to rejection. The servant's reaction to rejection. Verses 18 through 21. They all began to make excuses. First one said to him, I bought a piece of land and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another said, I've married a wife and for that reason I can't come. Slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry. Said to his slave, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring here the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Now instead of eagerly coming to the feast, instead of following through with what they had committed to do, they all insulted the host by refusing to come. And they all came up with feeble excuses to defend their change of plans. So the servant faces one excuse after another. First, he says, I bought a piece of land. You know, you don't buy land, especially in the Near East. You didn't buy land without examining. It was a major thing. Today, we don't buy land without looking at it. You know, when Christy and I were looking for homes in Three Rivers area, We made several trips over here and went through a lot of homes. I remember one time when we just couldn't make it. And so our realtor was going through the house with her phone. You know, and we're on the iPad at home going through FaceTime and looking at the houses and different, nope, that's not going to work. Nope, that's not going to work. And even if we couldn't be there, we were going to look at it as much as we possibly could. You know, you didn't buy land, especially in this culture, you didn't buy land. And he would have had a lot of opportunities to purchase land. He would have had a lot of opportunities. It was a long, drawn-out process. It didn't happen overnight. He would have had a lot of opportunities to examine his land, and most of the banquets were at night. He wouldn't have had much daylight to go and look at it anyway. So he's just coming up with a feeble excuse. Now the second one comes along and he says, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I have to try them out. Again, in that culture, you would never, ever purchase oxen that you hadn't tested beforehand. And it's late in the day. What's he really going to do? What's he really going to get accomplished? You know, it'd be the equivalent of us buying a car today without ever test driving it. Or at least, maybe you're buying it from a good friend. At least you've ridden in it. You know what kind of car it is. You know, you don't do that. You know, you test everything, and he would have done all those things beforehand. The third says, I married a wife and I can't come. I gotta be very careful how I word this one. All right. In that day, Jewish weddings were a long, drawn-out, elaborate process. When this man was invited to the banquet, he would have known, I'm gonna take a wife on that day. He wouldn't have agreed to come. And the wife wasn't expected to come anyway because only the men were invited to the banquet. Now that's the way it worked in that culture. And so obviously, these were simply excuses. One excuse after another. Billy Sunday, the baseball player turned evangelist, defined an excuse this way. He said, an excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The person who is good at excuses usually isn't good at much else. You know, they're usually not getting a lot accomplished. And these guests, they actually expected, we could tell by the wording of this parable, that they actually would have expected to receive another invitation in the future, but that invitation was never going to come. Every single one of them rejected the invitation. You know, when we share Christ, you're going to face rejection. You're going to face a lot of excuses. You're going to hear a lot of different reasons. You're going to hear a lot of different things. But God has demanded us that we share the truth. He hasn't demanded that we be successful as far as everybody coming to Christ. That's not our responsibility. But our responsibility is to take the good news, to take the message. Now, after everyone rejected him, the servant didn't hang his head in despair. He came to his master. He told him what had happened. You know, that's what we need to do. As we take the gospel message, and we are called to take the gospel message, as we take the gospel message to people and we face rejection, we need to come back to the master and share our disappointments with him. Tell him what we're facing. Tell him what we're going through, what difficulties are happening. You know, be open. Be honest with him. Share, we're getting frustrated. God, this is a lost cause. And God's the one that gives us the grace to go on. He gives us the hope to go on. He gives the courage to go on. He gives us everything we need. And remember, when people reject the good news, we tend to take it personally. They're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Christ. And yet he says, take it again and again and again and again. Be faithful. Keep right on telling the truth, and don't grow weary in well-doing. After that first one rejected the servant, he didn't just stop and go home. He went on to the next one. He went on to the next one. And then we see in the story, he continued on. Number 3, we see the servant's obedience to orders. Servant's obedience to orders. In verses 21 and 22, the middle of the verse of 21, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, crippled and blind and lame. Slave said, Master, what you've commanded has been done. There's still room. Now notice the key words change here. In verse 17, he says, go and tell them to come. But now the focus is on the servant. In verse 23, he says, go. go. Go to those that think they're unworthy to come. Go to the poor, the maimed, the blind. You know, if you can't win, for lack of a better word, if you're not seeing those closest to you, those you're most familiar with coming to Christ, go to those you're not as familiar with. Go to those you don't spend as much time with. And that's not your first draw. You know, go to the down and out. You know, what kind of individuals would be found where this servant is going? It would be the outcasts, the loiterers, the homeless, the undesirables. The kind of people that Jesus came for. Look at the next chapter, in Luke chapter 15. Look at verses 1 and 2. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to him to listen to him. Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And then in chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You know what? There may have even been some Gentiles in this crowd. And the only excuse that this group could come up with is, "We're not prepared. We didn't know about it. We didn't know this was happening. We weren't invited before." But the servant said, "Come, please." He begged them to come. They didn't have any excuses. They'd be the hungry ones. They'd be the lonely ones. And they were only too happy to accept an invitation to a free banquet. You know, it says, here they are. And what you've said, Master, it's been done. They're here, but there's still room. You know, and so these people came and they take the places that were assigned to invited guests. I want to read a couple passages with you. Still here in Luke, go to chapter 13. When we think about this message, the gospel message that we are called to take, the truth that we are called to share to an unsaved world, in Luke 13, look at verses 22 through 30. So he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. Someone said to him, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter through the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once the head of the house gets up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, 'Lord, open to us,' he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know where you're from.' Then you will begin to say, 'We ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets.' He will say, 'I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being thrown out, they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." You know, it sort of ties in with the end of chapter 14, verse 24, when he says, "For I tell you, none of these men who are invited shall taste of my dinner." Jesus makes it very clear. You have to be very careful about rejecting the invitation. You have to be very careful about rejecting the message. Because one day it's going to be too late. One day the door is going to be shut. He's going to say, your fate's sealed. You chose your future. Will you all turn to Proverbs 1, please? And I'm going to read a verse in Isaiah and then I'll get there. Proverbs 1. But in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. "So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And then in Proverbs 1, in verses 24 through 33, there's a solemn warning here that we shouldn't treat God's call lightly. Proverbs 1, 24 through 33. "Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind. when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way, be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Do not take God's call lightly. I know I'm throwing a lot of verses at you, but one more. In Hebrews 7:25, therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus invites them all. In verse 22, we see the mission's been accomplished. The servant says, everything you've asked has been done. It's been accomplished. But then we see number four, the servant's next mission. The servant's next mission. Verses 23 and 24. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. Now he said, go out into the highways and hedges. You know, what's he talking about? He's talking, I want you to go to those who don't know anything about me. Those who don't even know I'm having a dinner. Those who don't even know that I own land. Those who don't know anything about me. You know, our mission is a lifetime responsibility. We are called to go. We're called to go across the street. We're called to go to that coworker. Maybe God's going to call us to go overseas, to that country where not one person has ever heard about Jesus Christ. Go to those who don't have any idea about me. In verse 24, again, we see there are eternal consequences for rejecting the invitation. For I tell you, none of those men who are invited shall taste of my dinner. Now, this parable had a special message for the Jewish people, because they believed that no matter what, they would eat bread in the kingdom of God. But after Jesus told this story, it wasn't long before the religious leaders officially rejected the truth. And so the message went to the Samaritans, and then it went to the Gentiles. And the message here applies to all sinners today. Do you understand that we have the message to take? Everything is ready. You need to come. Everything is ready. Jesus has prepared everything. Nothing else has to be done. He's ready for you to come. And people today make all kinds of excuses. And you're going to hear a lot of different things. Well, that's good for you, but it's not good for me. Well, maybe someday. Not today. You know, well, if God is really a God of love, why are all these things happening in our world today? I don't want that kind of God. You're going to hear excuse after excuse after excuse. And some may sound pretty good. There's nothing wrong with owning a farm. There's nothing wrong with making purchases. There's nothing wrong with taking a wife and having a family. The excuses that are here. But if the good things keep us from the best thing, they become bad things. There's a lot of things in this world that are keeping people from coming to Christ. The Christian life is a feast, and we are to invite people to come. We need to be telling people Jesus has prepared the way. You know what? Don't give up and continue to give out the truth. Some of us need to get off of our backsides and get out and tell people about Jesus Christ. Some are faithfully doing it. Keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Now, when Christy and I moved here, at that point in his life, Bob Tissot was pretty much either in the hospital or in assisted care. I don't think he was at home maybe a week or so after we moved here, before he passed away. I went to visit Bob on a couple occasions. Some of you know, many of you know Bob, some maybe don't, but in a very short time I realized Bob was a very godly man. I enjoyed my time with him. Well, I was sitting there talking to Bob one day, and Bob looked at me and he said, "Pastor, I was saved by my good looks." I said, "What?" He said, "I was saved by my good looks. Were you?" I said, "Bob, I don't have a clue what you're talking about." He said, "One day I took a good look inside, and I realized there wasn't anything good in there. And I was a sinner in need of a Savior." And he started talking to me about his salvation experience. And I thought, you know, Bob, I'm going to use that someday. Maybe somebody here this morning needs to take a good look inside and get to the point where you say, "All right, I've been invited to the banquet a lot of times, but today I need to come." We all need to be like the servant who goes and takes the message, who goes and shares the gospel. Who is God placing on your heart? Who is that one person, those two people specifically, that you are going to say, "God, they're in my heart, they're on my mind for a reason. You've placed them there. I am going to purposefully." Christy and I have a next door neighbor. If you think about it, pray for Lindy. And Lindy has an unreal schedule at work. She's gone all the time. But I told Christy, God has placed her on my heart. And I am trying to be very purposeful. When I have 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, and we just are in the yard together just to share with her and to develop that relationship with her and share Christ. Who is it that God has placed on your heart and your mind? Right now, close your eyes, bow your heads, talk to God about that one that God has placed on your heart. Ask God to give you boldness. Ask God to give you opportunity. Ask God to give you the right words, the right attitude, that you will have a passion to take the message, to come with the invitation. Come to Jesus. As you are praying, there may be somebody here right now who says, "Pastor, I need to come. I need to come to Jesus Christ." If that's a reality, I'm going to ask you to do something really tough. While everybody's eyes are closed, their heads are bowed, if that's where you're at, stand up and come up front, so you and I can just spend some time in the Word of God and know what it means to be a child of God. Father, as individuals are praying, as each one here is thinking about that one or those two that you've placed on their heart and mind, whether it's a coworker, a family member, a neighbor, somebody they know, somebody they can have contact with that needs to come, I ask you to give them boldness to walk through that door when it's open. Give them the confidence to share your truth. And when they face excuses, when they face rejection, help them to keep coming, to don't give up, but to trust you. So, Lord, I think you're going to do something. I think you're going to give us some opportunities. May we be faithful to share your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name.